Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Welcome to Silently Blessed Podcast, hosted by me, Jesse.
And myself, Mimi.
Where we talk about family, finances, and marriage. We call it FFM. Stick around and prayerfully you will catch nuggets that you can use in your family, finances, and marriage. All right, here we go.
Welcome to part two
of last week's episode.
All right, so we're back. We're back from that commercial break. So, little people, what you got?
Well, I want to know about the umbrella.
What umbrella?
Business.
Company.
Oh, what's underneath?
The company's underneath. The company's underneath.
Okay. Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You gonna start with yours?
And another question I had, you said the name of the African name of your Howard
Femi Fabrics,
right?
Oh,
no,
Howard?
The other one.
Oh, Wale
yes
Waziri.
What, yes, Wale what Waziri. Does that mean? Yeah, what does that mean?
my name is Howard Gordon.
Okay.
When you break the name down, Howard was the name comes from an English knight, a protector, you know.
Okay.
And then Gordon, my surname, my biological surname. My family has been in church for quite a while. I have uncles and cousins and stuff like that that are preachers, ministers, pastors, you know. And so I wanted to take twofold ways for me to answer this. I recently went through a rite of passage, you know, and a rite of passage is almost every culture has a rite of passage, you know, for men. And this particular rite of passage, it was about getting in touch with yourself, because all people have things that they need to heal from, you know. And then getting closer in touch with me as just a person, you know. I've dealt with a lot, you know, as everybody.
Yes,
but
that's right.
But because my wife, her grandmother named her Olufemi, which is a Yoruba, and it actually means God loves me.
Mm.
And I love that, you know, I love that, you know. And so my name Wale means protector. That the name in Swahili means like protector, you know, guardian, protector. It's interesting if you say my first and my middle name really fast, Howard Lee, drop the how and you got Wale.
Oh, okay.
Well,
yeah. So I found that interesting.
Yeah,
and then Waziri is actually an East African term that means minister. So just like my first name, Howard Knight, Wale means protector, guardian. You guys know, and even with that being said, you remember part of the job that I had at church. I was part of church. Security. I was part of church security, you know. So is it in me? That's who I am, you know. So,
yes.
So the you know, Wale is an African for, you know, the same type term as Howard, and then Waziri means minister. So
protector minister.
So protector minister.
The minister.
Right, right. Okay. So that's where that comes from. Yeah.
All right.
That's
cool. So.
Tell about what? Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. I was just getting ready to ask. I wanted to kind of shift it towards, I guess, the marriage part.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we got your background in that. But we want to know, or I want to know, I don't know about little people, but how do you guys handle conflict? You know, I mean, we aren't people that, you know, she comes from a different walk of life than I come from. Well, when I say different walk of life, we weren't raised in the same house. So things wasn't done maybe how it was done at my house. So just how do you guys handle, you know, your conflict when you have conflict? Because no marriage is perfect. We all know that, right? And that's something that we talk about on our podcast, because we need people to know that when you put two people that were raised in different households together, you may have conflict from time to time. And if we can get people to understand that, how do I put this? If we could get them to understand that, then we wouldn't have such a high divorce rate in church that we have. We're not just talking about people in the world, but we're talking about church people. You know, I think it was over 50-something% the last time we looked at it for church people. So, you know, can you guys kind of help our audience with that and how you guys handle it?
I want to say something first before I answer this. One of the things that my husband and I have, the base to our relationship, is understanding not only where we stand at with God, yet understanding we choose to be together. Being together and working in a marriage is a choice. Nobody put no gun to nobody's head. It's a true, solid choice. The thing about choices is people take choices for granted. Okay? People take choices for granted. And our mindset is this life is hard to live by yourself, right?
Yeah.
And if you choose a partner, make sure you choose a partner that you actually like on days when you don't feel like being likable. Okay? Because it makes the difference to how you come out of your conflicts and how you handle your conflicts. We have grown, I'm going to do a quick summary and he's going to go into detail. We have grown so much in the last 10 years in terms of our communication and our conflict resolution behavior. Because originally, we're very stubborn people, and we're very kind of stuck in our ways a little bit, but know that there's more for us to grow. And you know, and it's hard when you have a friend that can tell you about yourself and you don't want to hear it from that friend, especially when you my lover. I ain't asked you. For you, you know. But what we have, and that's us back, and that's both of us. But the beauty about it is, I always explained to my husband from the beginning, I always understood when two people get together, at that very moment that God has allowed you all to get together, you are both at the same level of need and requirement in a relationship. The only difference is somebody needs a little bit more than the other at that time.
That's
but
right.
That doesn't mean that down the road it's not going to change. And
that's
that because when my husband and I got together, I'm going to say it like this, but I don't mean it like this. He seemed to be more broken than I was because of his current situation.
Correct. I understand.
But the thing about it was, once we started to work together and pray together and work through the kinks and all those things, and he got to a better healing place, then it seemed like I got to a place of trying to figure some things out and realizing that I'm broken. I got some broken things about me that that time frame where I was good when we got together, I wasn't good later. I found out that I'm very good with forgetting things. And when I say forgetting things, I mean, I'm good with, if something traumatic happens, I'll forget it and I'll make it disappear. The only problem with that is subliminally, subconsciously, the behavior and the characteristics that come behind the trauma, they're lying there. They're part of what's making you who you are, even though you think you've forgotten the trauma.
It comes out
in other ways, in other means. I was very brash. I'm headstrong anyway, but I wasn't being...
You're from New York. I said, you're from New York.
But see, that's the thing. And I'm going to tell you, I'm stopping people from using that.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you why. Because I'm from New York and I might know how to walk the concrete ground a little bit more than anybody else, but I'm a woman first.
Okay.
okay? And being a woman, I don't care if I'm from California, New York, or from Texas, or from Montana, I'm still a woman first. And in being a woman, a healed woman knows how to be able to understand and tap into that little girl of her, into that teenager of her, into that younger woman of her, because we're not scared to go there, because now we're actually working on the healing of who those people are. So when we first got together, we have this thing where we say, let's not lock horns. Okay. Mm. We're not into zodiacs and all of that stuff, but we're right. born underneath those signs that have big horns. Okay. Mm-hmm. Both of us.
All right. That's right.
Both of us. Okay. Mm. So when we get into arguments, our big thing was, we don't want to lock horns, because when we lock horns, we're going to look like two bulls out there, doing it.
Right. Yes.
And we've had our years of doing that. And then we got tired.
Mm.
We got so tired. And we knew it wasn't godly. It wasn't the right way to be going through things. And then we became empty nesters.
Yes, Lord. God.
And I say that to say, being a blended family was very difficult.
Yes.
Okay. Because both of us have this, our children don't tell us how to raise our children.
Mm.
Okay. But when you get together with someone that you're, it's beyond just you and that person. Now it's the whole bit. Mm. And then we have to be mindful, because these kids these days are pretty tricky. They know how to try to pit one parent against the other. Okay. So we did a lot of having to regroup, a lot of regrouping, because our kids knew how to try to play us. And then before we knew it, we argued with each other about something that they did. Macho, your turn. Okay, there you go. That's it.
That's right. No, you're right. That's good stuff right there.
I
really do believe that someone's going to get, what they need from what you just said.
Exactly.
So go ahead, Brother Gordon.
Yeah. Conflict resolution. One of the premier things that we said earlier on in our relationship is us against them. I don't care who the them is, it's us against them. We're together. We're together. If you get mad at me and you're going to leave me, make sure you pack my bag, because you're taking me with you.
That's right.
So that was one of the things, the mutual respect, like my wife was saying, you have to respect the other person's perspective. You may not understand it, but you have to respect it. You know what I'm saying? And then one thing that we learned real quick was, if there's an issue, it stays in the house. We don't put our business in the street.
That's right.
We don't put our business in the street, because even people that claim to have your best interest, they really, I ain't gonna say that they don't have your best interest, but they're not going to be as invested
as you are.
As you are, exactly.
That's right.
That was a major thing. Another thing, because of our blended family, we had to have to learn that our way wasn't the only way. There are people that have raised their kids maybe totally different, and there are things that we could glean from each other. So that was another thing. Just really learning
how do you resolve conflicts? How do we resolve conflicts now?
How do we resolve conflicts now?
Yeah.
Sometimes some people say, don't go to bed angry.
Yes.
We don't go to bed angry, but we go to bed irritated.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Hey, because you might as well tell the truth and shame the devil. Because it's the truth.
Sometimes I can't talk to him that night when he didn't upset me or I didn't upset him. I can't talk to you.
You see that hand raised right there?
Listen, but I'm going to still hold on to you at night, Mimi. I'm going to still hold on to you at night. I might not like
you. Yeah. Yeah, you get that little touch, but
that's it. Yeah.
But it's like why sit there and try to if neither one of you are ready to resolve the situation, why sit there and try to make it happen right then and there. And then both of y'all tired and just no good the next day, you know, because you up all night, you know, arguing. So we've learned how to get to a stopping point, you know, and then be like, okay, you know, we'll talk about whatever it is that needs to be talked about, but we'll do it from a different perspective the next time we talk about it. You know, and it's happened on a few occasions. You know?
So, oh yeah, and that's the truth. And I got another question already, but go ahead, sister.
We actually have learned to be more intentional and mindful about our living. So when you're being more intentional and mindful about your living, I can sense when I've rubbed him the wrong way. His energy changes. He can sense when he's rubbed me the wrong way, my energy shifts and changes. And then the Holy Spirit will be like, you might want to say something, you know, you might want to say something because they're not in a good place and you don't want no, I don't like to argue. I genuinely, I'm a debater. I can debate, but I don't really like to argue. And I love my husband. So because I love him the way I do, I don't always want to be stubborn. Being humble is so powerful. And even in your marriage, because I can say I'm sorry to my husband and genuinely mean it, and it will temper that beast that dwells within him when he get mad as a man. You understand what I'm saying? I might not want to say I'm sorry, but I'm very obedient to the Holy Spirit when it pricks me. And so if it says apologize, I'll go, okay, can you like tell me why? You know, because I like to understand. I do. Yeah. I like to understand why, because my thing is I don't want to give him an empty apology because I don't want to repeat whatever it was I'm apologizing for. Why am I apologizing? And most of the time I'm apologizing because one, I may not have taken the time to listen to him and say to him, baby, I understand where you're coming from. As simple as that, I understand where you're coming from. Because a lot of times I'll go into, he'll tell me his perspective and I'll be ready to jump into my perspective. So he'll look at it, and I'm saying this this way for a reason, he'll look at it as though I'm trying to defend when I'm really just trying to get him to see and understand from my side the way I understood from his side. But because I fail to say, baby, I understand. Humility.
Well, that's good. Yeah. That's real good. Yeah. So, two things. Two things. The first thing, this was something said similar at church today in Sunday school when the lady that was doing Sunday school said that she sometimes apologizes to her husband when she knows that she was right. She knows that she's right, but she apologizes to him. Because she don't want the confusion or conflict. Sometimes you have to bite your tongue and humble yourself and just say, okay,
that my husband back and play and all of that. I can't do that when he mad at me.
Yes.
Hold on a second. The most humble person that ever lived was not soft. That was Jesus Christ. He chose to walk in humility. This guy had power over the wind. He had power to tell demons to leave. At any time, he could have called down a legions of angels.
You know
what I'm saying? But he chose to walk in humility. What we as human beings, male and female, what we fail to realize is that sometimes women fail to realize that their femininity is a superpower. And men fail to realize that their masculinity is a superpower. But we don't look at it as a superpower from the state of humility. You know, we men, we look at masculinity from the bravado, I'm in charge. But if we look at our masculinity from the vein, from the viewpoint that Christ walked the earth, you know, I have authority, but I choose to just lean back and listen, you know. The thing about it, when us men, when we do that, we come very much more attractive to our wives, you know?
Amen.
And then for on the other side of the coin, when, like that sister said that she apologized, she wasn't, she may have been right, whatever the argument was, but if she was operating in the superpower of her femininity, you know, and not, because there's other sides of it. You know, you can have negative or toxic femininity, and you can also have toxic masculinity. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
As men and women, because there are men who operate out of femininity, and it's toxic. It looks toxic. It feels toxic. And there's women that operate out of masculinity, and it's toxic. Mm-hmm. You know? So she could have took the role as, well, I'm right, and then started asserting a toxic masculinity, you know, and apologize from that perspective. Or she simply, you know what? I'm a woman. I'm the queen of this situation. I appreciate my man, you know, and from the femininity, from the feminine side, that positive energy that God blessed her with, you know, she apologized to her man because she's like, yo, this, you know, some things ain't worth it, you know? Mm-hmm. That's something that within the last couple of years that we've been doing a lot more of, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, good, because I mean, I'll share this, you know, this year, November 3rd, we have been married for 32 years, right? We've been together about 36. Yeah. You know, by the grace of God, you know, and every day hasn't been like Sunday.
Right.
You know, but hey, we worked through it. And this is my next question. So we're both from South Carolina. So we don't have family up here that we can go run into. So you might jump in the car, you know, and drive down the street or go over to Walmart and sit in the parking lot for an hour or two, but you ain't got nowhere else to go. So you got to come back. So I wanted to ask, how do you guys handle that with Howard being from SeaTac area? And you're from New York. How do you guys handle that? We don't have any place to go to, or how, you know, do you still have family here in SeaTac area? How?
I do.
Okay.
I hear a lot of people that feel the way that I do, and that is, once you've left your hometown and you've been in the military. And though I was only in for one tour, if you will, but I was a CB, you know, and you know, we're boots on the ground type cats, you know, and it's like I have like a lot of life experience, and then so when I move back here, it's like, how can I say this? Everybody here may not have the same experience that God has blessed me to have.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though I'm home, there are people that don't even realize that I live here. I see people all the time and they're like, when you get back? I was like, man, I own a house. You know? So, you know, and it's like, there's only a few, a very few friends, you know, like I have my one best friend. Me and him been friends forever, you know, and man, we're kind of on that level. But other than that, I don't really. My younger brother, you know, me and my younger brother, we both drive trucks, we both ride motorcycles, and so when I moved back here 10 years ago, because I'm 12 years older than my brother, it's like we really, really got close. So me and my younger brother is like really the closest, you know, but there's no like, I'm gonna go run over to, you know.
No, you're gonna run over to that room over there that you're paying for, and I'm gonna run upstairs to that room that you're paying for, and we're gonna be all right. There used to be a time when I would, and I stopped, because I used to, I get upset and run out the door and jump in the car and go sit down by the oceanfront, whether it be Norfolk side, just to get by some water somewhere, whether it be by that, what's that bridge over there by Shore Drive? What's
Chesapeake.
That bridge?
Chesapeake.
No, not that far down. The little one, that little bridge right there. Lesnar Bridge. Okay. I go over there before they change that Lesnar Bridge area up, and I would just go over there and cut off the car and just open the window and just sit there, because I'll be so frustrated. But I never wanted to go run to somebody but God. I just wanted to get away from him and show him that I could get away. You know, that was my purpose. But I stopped that because that came Yeah, you know I can get away, but you know I'm coming right back. So I waste the gas. You know, the gas got expensive. Why about that?
That's
then
right.
And then we got in here and we don't really counsel with too many people. Okay. We have one or two people that we trust that we might have a conversation about something, but that might is like close to like 10%, maybe 5%, because it's not so much that we're worried about people knowing our business, because we're very transparent people. We don't mind. If you ask us, we shall tell. It's just, there's things that our marriage is for us. Our marriage ain't for nobody else. Our marriage and where we go through, what we're going through, it's he and I together, you know? So we don't, I have one girlfriend, she's 20, we're 27 years friendship. She met me when I was pregnant with my son, and my son is gonna be 28 this year. And she's the oldest in age friend that I have, but oldest in time friend that I have, besides one other young lady.
Yeah.
And so she's seen me through so many of life's ebbs and flows and what God has done for me, that when I got with him, she was the first person I told. So she's known of him and loved him from the very beginning. But outside of that, we don't really do that. Yeah. We don't do that because we find that if we talk, God can't talk.
The thing that I tell people like all the time is like, if you must talk to somebody about your marriage, make sure that they're more mature than you. Make sure that they're happily married, you know, and make sure that they ain't got no agenda. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like they're a godly couple, or even if they're not a godly couple in the sense of your understanding of the reverence for God, but they have respect for God, you know? It's like, and they understand what the union of marriage is and what it means. It's like, you're on the right track. You're on the right track. I'm not with the new age thing of, you know, nah.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say that some things that you go through, and like I said, there's no marriage that's perfect, you know. So when you put two people together that were raised two different ways, you will have conflict. So I think what you guys said is perfect, you know, but I was just kind of wondering how did it work, you know, whether your parents were here, you know, that type of thing. But we're the same exact way with that, because what happens in our house is in our house. I mean, we're, you know, trying to help people understand that you do have to have that person that you can depend on first, Christ, then your spouse, you know, that's the order, right? And so you just have to work together, work through it, and everything will be okay. In my own opinion.
I had something to say, but I always say, as you get older and as you grow together, I believe it comes a little bit lighter. It's a little bit less trouble. I really believe that. You know, as you evolve, your marriage should evolve.
You got to do the work. You got to do the work, because you know, you can't have this assumption of what somebody else is supposed to do or be, or presumption, and you haven't done the work in yourself. You know what I'm saying? To see, you know, it's simple. It's like, you know, sometimes the problem is the person that you see in the mirror, you know, and you got to do the work. You got to, it's like, why does this trigger me? You know,
I was just about to, go into that. You have to go into one of the key elements of our conflict resolution steps, self-assessment. You have to self-assess. You have to look at your part of the situation and what part you played and really play it out. And then really put yourself in that other person's shoes as if to say, now, if this person came to you that way, how would you take it? You know, or if they said that to you, would you not want, you know, them to feel, would you not want to feel like they respect your feelings, or, you know, those different things that we get kind of roadblocked in when we get into conflicts in marriage. But if you can self-assess first, by the time you finish looking at you, you have taken your eye off your spouse and you realize that there's some things you could have done better in the process of whatever's going on. Hence where your humility will come in, because now you realize that you can put your foot in your own proverbial spiritual mouth because you weren't right either. It's two, this is the two make one. The two make one. So if one ain't acting right, check the other one too. Something going on, okay? Because they're together in this. And that's really what it is.
Amen.
Yeah.
And that's what we do. We first, we self-assess. We, you know, we get mad with the other person. That's human nature, okay? But when you walk away, you don't walk away looking to condemn that person. You walk away wanting to not have this argument in the air. You don't want no elephant in the room. You want peace.
That's
I want to go smooch up on him. I want to hug up on him, you know?
I like to hug up on my husband.
Yes, that's right.
And I say all the time on here, you know, on the podcast, is no one can make you happy. No one can make you happy. Now, as a spouse, you're supposed to treat me right. You're supposed to treat me godly if you're claiming to be a Christian. But as for myself, you know, that's me. You got to work on yourself daily. You can't blame that on anyone else. You know, so.
All right. So we are coming to a close, but I had one more question
that
I wanted to ask you guys. And it is, how do you guys do like your finances? Is it one person that does all of the finances, or do you guys do it jointly? Because we get different answers, you know, from different couples. And like in our household, it's more of, I guess now I do more of the finances. She used to do it when I was like in the military out to sea, but I guess after I retired, it kind of got turned over to me, you know, somehow, you know, but she pretty much did it, you know, while I was in the military or whatever. So how do you guys do it? How do you, you know, because some people, some things work better for other people, you know, or whatever. So how do you guys do that?
With the business, the Lilu Designs, we also have another business, and that's Lilu Transportation, because I'm a truck owner now.
Okay. You know? All right. Well, praise the Lord, my brother.
Thank you.
All right.
So
now.
We'll
talk to him.
with us having two entities that create income, plus us trying to save for, you know, retirement and vacations, and then still having to pay for the home, you know, and the house lifestyle, things, it's almost like we got buckets, you know, like, you know, the household things are shared, you know. I'm fully understanding when her side of our businesses may have a ebb instead of you know, it's a little lower.
And then
the same, she's understanding with me when my side, because having a truck it's expensive, you know.
So you guys are kind of sharing it together, the duties.
We share it together. The majority of our financial stuff, if it's directly coming directly to LLT, my business, then it goes through my email.
Basically, personal finances. Sorry, baby. I want to answer this question. Personal finances, we handle together. The business finances, we handle our businesses individually.
Okay.
We do talk about them and discuss them, but we are responsible for our businesses individually, but we do handle our personal together.
All right. That's good. So like with us, thank you for that. Like with us, we on a budget. You know, we live on a budget, you know, and I think we've been doing it now about 2 or 3 years. And it cuts down on the confusion. You know, a lot of times a lot of the arguments about money, finance. Right. So we do this budget thing, and she gets and I don't want to call it an allowance or whatever, but
stipend.
You know, whatever.
Stipend. Stipend.
She got a stipend for hair, nails, and then we get a stipend for whatever you want to do with.
Respectfully, yeah.
Right. So you do whatever you want to do with your stipend, whatever it is, you know, per month. Hey, so we were just talking earlier about how she was saying, how you want to spend your money on whatever. I'm like, hey, it's my stipend. It's my
exactly.
So, you know what I'm saying? So if I want to take the money and put it out in the can and burn it, right? I'm just saying, you know, I ain't gonna burn it.
Yes, we know you ain't gonna do that, but
but you know, it's mine to use how I see fit. And I don't think we don't really have a lot of conflict about that anymore, because we never really did, but I'm just saying now it's like, hey, you got your money, your fund money, you know,
right?
If I want to buy a game for my headset or my PlayStation or whatever, hey, if I got the money, I go buy a game, you know?
Right,
so
right.
That's it. That's just what I wanted to share about. Okay.
Thank you.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
So I know we only have a few minutes left here, but what else you guys want to tell about Team Gordon? I mean, I think we've learned a lot. They've learned a lot. What else?
Well, we have a new baby that we've been birthing for the last few months, and we're actually going to put it out there for 2023, Power Couple Coaching. Power Couple Coaching, and we are coaching definitely from the vein of blended families for sure, because it's really, really, it's a very difficult, it's not like back in the day, you know, where it was one and one and they had all these kids together, and my stuff is done. Power Couple Coaching, he's going to be coaching men, I'm going to be coaching women, and then if any couples ever want any assistance to coaching together, we'll coach together. But the Power Couple Coaching represents us, because we know we are a power couple. We know God has placed us together and we have power. So we are well aware. Yeah. Yeah. So that's our newest coming out. So we look forward to that. We'll be sharing it, and we'll be inviting you guys to our podcast.
Okay.
Be ready.
Be ready.
But yes.
All right.
Yeah, because you know, it's one thing that we do know, both of us being on our second and final marriages, that it's important for people to feel supported in the journey of marriage. A lot of times people don't have, if you pay attention to people who get divorces, a lot of times, one, they don't have a lot of positive marriages around them. That's the first thing. Okay. That's the first thing, because if they had positive marriages around them, when a positive married couple sees another couple struggling, they will take the time, if not, not to dig in a business, but to pour positivity onto them. They will take the time to pour love onto them and let them know it's going to be all right. What it is today, it ain't going to be that always, and it ain't going to be that tomorrow, you know? And they'll understand, like, for example, and this is going to be the last thing I say. You had a couple on here. You mentioned you had a couple on here. Mr. and Sister Parrish.
Yes.
She has been like my church mother since I started going to Piney. And I can remember one time he had upset me. I was working as a volunteer for the pantry, and he had upset me one time, and she could see it. She was like, well, what's wrong with you? And I was like, I don't know how you do this thing with this marriage stuff, because he is so irritated. And she said, listen, And it was the most sound piece of advice she could have gave me. She said, listen, it's not about the battles, it's about the war. It's not about winning every little argument and all those different things, but it's definitely about winning the war against breaking up of homes and marriages. And if y'all could stand together when it's time to fight the war, don't worry about the little battles you have with your man. He's your man, it's gonna be okay. Sometimes you just gotta be quiet. And I was like, oh. But yeah.
Wow. You know, she gave me some good advice.
And I hold dear to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hold dear to that. I hold dear to that.
That's good.
But that's the thing, why we got so many divorces. Not enough support in the community. Not enough support.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And honestly, Team Gordon, it's more about not being fake or phony. Because like we said, there's no marriage that's perfect. Mm-hmm. And we know that. And so you have to, I mean, you don't have to share your business about what's going on, but you can say, hey, we don't always live like a Sunday.
Right.
You know, there's Monday through Saturday where we may have a conflict. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So that's what we are trying to do. And we've been doing it for a year now, you know? Okay. And so that's basically what I wanted to say about it. You know, did you have anything?
I don't have anything else.
You don't have anything else?
Oh, for the Team Gordon?
Yeah.
Thank you.
You heard
look,
that?
Look, we're going to have you guys back. I know you're starting your podcast. When are you guys starting the podcast?
We're aiming to, well, we put out a pilot. We put out a pilot audio on, what was it? Or, I think not Audible, this other one.
Yeah. Was a while ago.
Yeah, it was. But it was just a pilot one just to get our feet wet. Because we have such great conversations that we were like, you know what, let's start recording some of our conversations, because they really are, sometimes we'll just sit down and really, what they say, philosophize. We get philosophical. We have hypotenuses conversations. You know, we make up words all the time.
That's all right. That's totally fine with us.
Yeah.
So
we
murder words and stuff sometimes because we just get lazy and we don't want to go through it. But no, dude, we'll let you all know. We will definitely let you all know when we officially say, you know what, we're gonna launch it out and make it happen. We'll definitely let you know because there's so much going on. Oh yeah, let me do a real quick plug.
Okay.
Real quick plug. 122/23. I am actually doing my first fashion show that I actually planned it, and I'm doing it with two other partners, two other lead designers out here. We decided, we're like, we're always doing everybody else's show. Why have we never worked together? So this is really my official, you know, show, if you will, and it's a fashion experience. It's not a fashion show. It's not a regular Virginia Beach fashion show. It is a fashion experience, which means there's no singing and dancing and all those beautiful fillers. This is all about the clothes. It's all about the creation. It's all about putting it together. So there are regular general admission tickets. I would tell anybody, if you're really into VIP treatment, sometimes, you know, some VIP treatment is like, that ain't VIP. Well, all I can tell you is with us, we are doing it up. Okay.
All right.
We know how it is. We know what we want. Okay. Amen. So for general admission, you come in, the show starts at 6:30. If you do a VIP ticket or a VIP table, which is a table of six people, you get, as a VIP, you get a whole hour before the general admission is entered. We have a liquid bar, we have food, we're gonna have a major marketplace, so there's gonna be a lot of small businesses there. Okay. So it's there for you to be able to support them. And then we're gonna have a live band there playing some beautiful classy act music. And each VIP, they'll be getting a complimentary bag, but within the bag is also going to be a ticket, a merch ticket. So we have merchandise that represents the three of us. Okay. And so you'll be able to go to the merch table and pick out a mug, a t-shirt, a bag, whatever your little heart might want. You can pick it up from the merch table. So that for the actual table, you get all of what I just said, plus you get two bottles of wine and a charcuterie board for your table of six. Okay. So it's definitely it's definitely worth it, and it's definitely going to be an amazing time. The actual website is Fed Presents, F as in Femi, E as in Ebony, D as in Dutch, presents with an S at the end, .com.
Okay.
So they can get a ticket there. You can look, and then we also have sponsorship too. We have sponsorship available, so y'all can look on there too if you want to sponsor. So we are accepting sponsorship.
Okay.
But yeah, that's what we're doing. So we're excited.
They're gonna put this area on the map. Is I mean, the way that I would say it is sort of like how Pharrell put Virginia Beach on the map with something in the border.
Yeah.
This is what her and the other two designers are. That's their goal for the fashion. And
for us to be known for fashion. And my iPad is dying. Okay.
So okay.
But that was my plug. But we want Virginia Beach to be known for fashion as well, because we're not known for fashion. We're just known as a resort location.
Yeah.
But we want to be put on the map for fashion as well, because there's a lot of gifted, talented designer seamstresses out here. You know, there are a lot of them.
One thing I want to say is there's a fashion influencer, and she lives here, and she has a lot of following. So her,
do you know her name?
Hilo Lux.
Hilo Lux. That sounds familiar. Hilo Lux. Okay.
So tell her.
We had a good time.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for having us on here.
Yeah, no.
We sure appreciate
you guys. So thank you. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. We really do appreciate you guys spending the time with us, and we wish you nothing but success
and
all that you guys will be doing. So thank God for you guys. Like I said, hopefully something that was said will help a marriage, you know, that's on the verge of breaking up, you know. And don't know what to do, but maybe something that was said on this podcast
will help them.
So we thank you guys, and we look forward to coming on your podcast, and you guys can interview us if you want.
Yes,
so
yes.
We thank you. Praise God.
Thank you. Yeah. You all continue having an amazing evening. Thank you.
Yes. All right. So, well, good people, that's our time for this week. We'd like to thank you guys for joining us. We want to thank him, Femi and Howard, for their time and their generosity and all that they shared.
Yeah.
Make sure that you guys come back on next week and bring a friend with you. We love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Yeah. Remember, we'll be praying for you. I'm Jesse.
I'm Mimi.
Be blessed, my brother.
And my sister.
Peace.
Thank you for joining us for this episode at Silently Blessed Podcast. Remember, if you would like to connect with us,
hit us up at silentlyblessedmedia@gmail.com. 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 One word. Facebook, TikTok, YouTube channel, Instagram. Just search Silently Blessed Media LLC. Twitter, just search Silently Blessed. We love you,
and there's nothing you can do about it.
Peace and blessings until next time. Don't forget to subscribe
and like.
This episode was produced by Silently Blessed Media LLC.
All rights reserved to Silently Blessed Media LLC.
I'm Jesse.
I'm Mimi.
Be blessed, my brother
and my sister.
Peace.